council policy is to record conversations. So all persons in attendance are advised that it is council policy to record council meetings in accordance with council's audio recording policy. The audio recording of this meeting will be made available to the public on the council's website for a period of 6 months. Members of the public in attendance at the meeting who do not wish for their words to be recorded and or published on the website should advise a relevant council officer. So there we are. Item one, apologies. Being none, declarations of interest. There's none. Procedural motion for public question time. Don't know that, do we? Public question time, Doug? Clear. Question notes from the public. Questions that's all out. Questions on notice from Alderman. Nothing on there. Governance and finance report. Our first item tonight is the the pay by phone parking technology review, and the recommendation for that is on page 6 of the end. Could I have a move on the move by Alderman Mayor Martin. And seconded Alderman Emerton. Mayor Martin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It's quite evident by the report that there has been an increase in usage of pay by phone in our off-street car parks, and I think it's worthwhile in continuing with that service. I certainly endorse that an expression of interest comes out. And I just wonder, maybe through you, that with the expression of interest,
yes, it will. Yeah, obviously, the expression of interest would be both for the equipment and the service that the provider can offer, and also aiming to minimise any surcharge or costs passed on to the consumer.
Thanks, Mayor Martin. Alderman Edmund?
If I have a problem with my audio, Chair.
I can hear it.
Yes, but the recording, they want to hear my voice. Just to follow on from what
have you got a cut-off switch up there? Have you? Someone shouldn't have told him that.
Yeah, just following on from what Mayor Martin mentioned, it's interesting, the growth. I was actually quite surprised with that, perhaps because I'm a bit old school. But it's trending in that direction. It wouldn't be too long before we probably see 2,000 people paying that way. So let's certainly endorse the report and look forward to going through a process of the tendering, etc. Thank you.
Thanks, Alderman. And any further, Alderman Mill?
I just want to say it's a dash good idea.
Pardon?
It's a really good idea to have this, from my perspective and a lot of my contemporaries, it means that people with disabilities, and if they're going to run out, they don't have to then wheelie back to the car park and put some money in. They can do it by phone.
Well, they've got the right phone, they'll be right.
Yeah, okay. Can't you do it? Are you able to do it?
Pardon?
Are you able to do it?
No, it's beyond me.
Oh, okay, right, yeah, okay. Right. Okay, thanks.
I can't even count.
Right, no, all right.
Just the other question through you to the undercover car park. So everything will be catered for when we get into this room with the new one? What are we...
Through the chair. The undercover car park, the multi-deck car park, we're looking at the technology to be used in that facility, I guess, at the moment, starting that process. But the pay-by-phone wouldn't necessarily apply to that. It's more to your open air car parks at the moment. So the car parks with pay-as-you-leave facilities, this service doesn't apply to. So currently, it doesn't apply to
the undercover one with pay-as-you-leave overrides.
Yeah, so the Best Street car park, this doesn't apply to currently.
Yeah.
Our other car parks, it does. And the same with the new multi-storey, it wouldn't apply to that.
Right, okay. Yeah. Any further questions, comments? Mayor Martin, sorry, to close?
Consider it closed.
I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against? Carry. Thank you. 4.2 is annual general meeting. So recommendation is that it's on page 8. So we've got the 31st of October or the 24th of October. So, yes.
Yeah, well, I'll move option 2.
Option 2 for the 24th of October.
Mm-hmm.
And Alderman Perry.
Thanks, Chair Alderman Goodwin. As much of a much as option one or two, I guess the only issue with option two could possibly be if we have our general meet or our ordinary meeting starting at 5:30, we get, an inflated number of motions from the floor, which is possible at any given time. So I guess that is one concern, but I think we could perhaps do it anyway, and if we need to start the ordinary meeting a little bit later, we'll save it. But I'm comfortable with the 24th. Thank you.
Yes, it makes more sense, I think, Mr. Chair, in this, where we'll be here, and people attending the AGM that wanted to stay on for the normal council meeting will know it's going a little late if it is ends up as Alderman Perry said, so I'll support that.
Very good. Any further comments? There is none. Alderman Perry to close.
I consider it closed. Thank you.
All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against? Carried. Annual plan 4.3, the progress report of annual plan. It's all there and the recommendation is contained on page 9. So I'll ask for a move and a seconder, please, on annual plan.
So moved, Mr. Chair.
So moved by Deputy Mayor Rockliffe. And
seconded
by Mayor Martin. And Deputy Mayor Rockliffe.
That's a comprehensive report. We're only 2 months into the financial year, but it's good to see what's on track and what needs to yet start. So it's good to have it in front of us. Thank you.
Thank you. Mayor Martin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yes, comprehensive report. A couple of things. Julie Burgess attending the 2017 Australian Wood Boat Festival. Are there opportunities for paying passengers as there have been in the past?
Yes, there are.
Thank you.
I'm not quite sure whether or not they're fully booked. I've got a feeling they may be already.
That's great.
For the way down, I think there's opportunities available for the way back.
Right. Is that for Southerners to come back up via the ocean?
Yes.
Because, yeah.
I think it only holds about 3 or 4, doesn't it?
Yeah, only a couple.
I also note that with Goal 4 listed in the annual plan and the strategic goals of the council, that we're looking at embedding learning opportunities into events. And we've currently got the Festival of Learning halfway through, and I attended the Trades Challenges last week and conveyed to the council the great opportunity that had and the students being involved in hairdressing, cooking and construction, and I think that will expand and involve other schools from around the state. Also noted in the report that there's developing a regional youth strategy in conjunction with the Trove and Kentish councils, and that's commenced and on its way, so that's great for this council to be involved in with young people. And note that there's going to be a review of special interest groups in January 2017, so see if there's any efficiencies there and to avoid some duplications and crossovers, etc. Thank you.
Thank you. Any further comments? None whatsoever.
Yes.
Alderman.
Thank you.
It
might seem like a minor comment, Chair, but I actually think the photo that's on the front of the progress report is a stunning photo of the foreshore of our, and not one, obviously, I guess it's probably taken by a drone or something. A marvellous little thing. I think I'll get one. But, no, seriously, that is a stunning photo of a view of our iconic bluff area that I've never seen before.
Mm.
And would encourage that to be used for marketing and those kind of purposes, because it encapsulates newness with the very modern buildings. The beach actually looks probably better than what it is. And the green grass and the play area. Stunning.
Well done. Nice in colour.
It is in colour on my copy.
Oh, on the iPad.
Right, yeah, okay. Right, yep.
Not on that
yet. I'll show you after the meeting.
Yeah, right. One thing I might add is on a Saturday morning, especially out there with the weather the way it's been, gee, there's some people get out there on a Saturday morning for the park run and the rest of the stuff. Yeah. Tremendous. Yeah, that's it. Any further comments from anybody? I'll ask for Deputy Mayor Rockliffe to close.
Close, thank you, Mr. Chair.
And it's closed, and all those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
And against, it's carried. What have we got? 4.4, to you go, the lease to the Six Rivers Aboriginal.
So moved.
Moved by Alderman, by Mayor Martin, and seconded by... Mayor Mark.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Look, it's a comprehensive report. The deed's been discussed with members of the Six Rivers and Tiagara, and all the suggestions that they had have been put in there into place. So, very happy to move the recommendation. Thank you.
And Alderman Milne. Excuse me, could you put your microphone on so everybody can hear you?
Thank you. I think it's a fantastic opportunity for Tiagara and the Six Rivers to come together with council and you know, strike this deal. It means that Tiagara will go forward in leaps and bounds now, I'm sure.
Absolutely.
just one. So now... The Six Rivers, after taking possession of Tiagara, does that mean that they'll have to get their own public liability insurance?
Sorry, Mr. Mayor, Mr. Chair, that's correct.
All right.
That's correct.
So is that up until... So once the deed's struck, they'll be still under our council public liability?
Sorry, Mr. Chair. Currently, we currently have some public liability because we're technically still the owner of the building. Until this is, report is ratified by council at the next council meeting, and then we will notify them that it's been accepted, and they'll be responsible then for insuring their premises, but also taking their own public liability.
Okay, so they've still got another month under our public liability.
They'll have some time, but we will notify them towards the end of this month that the building has now been transferred to them and the ownership, and they are then responsible to make sure the property is insured. We will give them time to do that before we remove them from our insurance policy, but obviously once they're in ownership of it, they are responsible for those sort of things.
Okay. So just to clarify, so they've got another couple of months or a month?
At the present time, they've signed the document.
Yeah.
Council's approving it. So next week it will be endorsed by the full council, and then we will notify them.
Right.
And so they will have a matter of a couple of weeks, a couple of months.
Right, yeah.
By the time we formally notify them that it has been accepted
and
that we've placed a seal and those sort of things on it and got the documents back. But we'll give them a time and ask them to make sure they've got things in place by then.
Right, yeah.
Any further comments?
Thank you. Just a couple of questions. One, the property is pretty old. The property itself is pretty old. So, and reading the lease itself, it's a little bit loose on who's maintaining what. I mean, it certainly says that they've got to look after the premises, keep it clean, mow the lawns, do a few things around, but we've got to maintain nothing at all now, so they've got to take over as is. Because I know that they had a roof leak there not that long ago.
Sorry, Mr. Chair, there's two separate items. There's the lease, which is for the land.
Yes.
So council still owns the land, part of it, and the other part is Crown land. The building, there is a transfer document here to transfer the ownership of the building and the collection within Tiagara to Six Rivers, which means that they'll be they'll become responsible for
everything.
All of that going forward.
Yeah.
There is an expectation under the lease that they will keep it in a reasonable condition, and not the build, but keep the area of land that they're leasing from council in a reasonable condition.
Of course,
yeah,
of course. It's just that, you know, I have concerns about what kind of repair and condition the actual building's in, because it is an old building. I mean, we've got to be very clear here, and it probably wasn't maintained for quite a while either. It has been empty for quite a while. So I do have concerns about where it is at the moment for them to take over and whether they're going to end up in a bit of trouble with it. My other question was, and you might have just answered it for me anyway, but page 55, the removal of tenants' fixtures. So they own everything within it, so they have the right, if they decide, they can just leave the whole place and they take everything with it and we end up with a building that they hand back. Is that how it would happen if they decided to?
That's correct.
Yeah,
that is correct.
Because they have everything within
yes.
theirs.
Yes.
Yeah. And at the moment, we're handing everything over to them of the building side of things. Yeah, all right.
You have to recall, though, that when this first came to council,
yes.
it was at their suggestion that they wanted to have ownership of the building.
Absolutely.
And that they believe that they will be better placed to get grants and other assistance to assist them in actually A, running it, but also future capital improvements.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Gordon Goodman, Chairman. Yeah, just to further, due to the past history of, probably to the General Manager, relative to the issues that occurred with performance, I guess the fact that the lease is with Six Rivers. There's no criteria for performance, I guess. It's now a standalone thing. Do they, as it's still it's in such a prominent place, is there any way that there can be some performance criteria set to send back to us,
yep.
to the council, just to, so that the similar situation doesn't occur? That's happened in the past. Is there anything that can be done on that score?
In relation to that, through you, Mr. Chair, on page 38, clause 7 talks about reversion. So if any of the following events occur, SHRAC advises council that it no longer has the capacity to operate Teagara, the building and or contents fall into disrepair in the sole opinion of the council, SHRAC breaches any of the essential terms of the lease, etc., there is a opportunity there for council basically to have the to call in the lease. So there is the cover there for council that if the property does fall into disrepair or any of those sort of things, there is a clause under the lease agreement for us to then take whatever necessary action to have it addressed or to resume ownership of it.
Yeah, just thank you. Just a further question through the chair on that. I guess performance relative to turnover, let's say, or financial, is there any thing as far as the council's concerned on that?
No, through you, Mr. Chair, council at the time, that was a previous arrangement that was in place and it was found that it was very subjective and that it was very hard to monitor and so it was purposely not included as part of the arrangements for this particular process. So it was about handing the building and the ownership over to them. Essentially, they become the owners and they can do what they wish with the property.
Thanks, Chair Goodman. I think the point needs to be made, whether they turn over $1 million or $50 million is irrelevant to council. Providing the building's kept in a reasonable condition and it doesn't become an embarrassment to the council, that's all we need to know. What they do inside their building is entirely theirs. It's like a football club or a cricket club doing stuff inside their building, legal stuff that is. So, you know, we don't have to have parameters and conditions and we don't need to thrust that upon Six Rivers. It's entirely up to them. They've been seeking this opportunity for a long time. They've got it and we wish them well. So I think it's pretty clear cut. Thank you.
Yeah, the best outcome we could ever get in relation to it, and they'll Yeah, they've got ownership of it, and they'll go forward in leaps and bounds. Yeah, absolutely. Any further comments? Mayor Martin.
Thank you. Just to reiterate that this was done at the request of Six Rivers for the building, ownership thereof, and for the items inside the building, and for them to take it over and manage it from there. And they were well aware of the condition of the building before the final lease and the signing of their signature on the leases, etc. So they, as is where is, and they're well aware of it. Thank you. Consider it closed.
Thank you. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Against, it's carried. 4.5, Digital Devonport City Strategy. And the recommendation is contained on page 71.
So move, Mr. Chairman.
I move. And the Mayor. And seconded for Alderman Perry.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think this strategy is one of the most important ones that the Council is undertaking. Recent times, we know that we're no longer burdened by geographic isolation. There are no borders restrictions in regards to time and distance and relevance for our community and our residents. More and more businesses are going online and people are becoming more connected locally, nationally and internationally. Globalisation means that someone on the other side of the world can actually be taking up our jobs. Crowdsourcing is becoming a familiar thing, where we go online and we source solutions to problems or assistance. There's a need for immediacy of information in tourism, business and social sectors. And it's a great description on point 6.2 that the internet is increasingly regarded as a basic utility, much like electricity, gas and water. It's certainly great to see that the Wi-Fi is set to expand in our city and that we need to expand on being a learning community to also become a smart city through the use of technology and infrastructure and even the arts. We need to heighten the opportunity for our community to become an engaged and empowered community in the digital space or suffer the point of being left behind. And whilst we look to achieve this, importantly, we must not forget those who find it difficult to be part of the digital world due to social, health, hardship or disadvantage issues, and ensure that we as a council are still able to communicate effectively with all members of our community through whatever means are required. So it's a great report, and I'm looking forward to our city becoming very much digital in the upcoming 2017 to 2021. Thank you.
Thanks, Mayor Martin. And Alderman
Perry. Thanks, Alderman Chair. I agree with the Mayor's comments, and I guess at the end of the day, particularly with Living City imminent, we have to be, and to compete on a tourism and visitation perspective, we have to be digitally sophisticated to not only retain our market share now, but to gain a greater market share. And if those towns and cities across Australia and across the world, for that matter, that fall behind on the digital in the digital revolution, are going to fall behind in just about every respect. So we need to be at the forefront in that, the cutting edge, certainly in this state, if we're going to get a share of the tourism numbers that are coming in. And just as a small sidetrack, the Spirit of Tasmania has already started its twin sailings. They normally start those in December, so the bookings are up on the Spirit of Tasmania already, and that's a good sign, and we want to get a big chunk of those, obviously, this summer and ensuing summers and winters, I guess. And part of that is the digital revolution, so we just need to be out the front with that to make the most of it. Thank you.
Thank you. Any further comments? Alderman Emerson.
Thank you, Chair. Just like to add my words to the strategy is that obviously it's relevant. It's must do. It's not an option really, and I think it's important for us as we think about the next year's budgets and things like that is to make sure that we do sufficiently fund some of the all the strategies that would be in the line of council's responsibility to do so, because whilst there's always pressure on budgets and dollars and that, this certainly is an opportunity that goes hand in hand with our living city. We're building a building. We've got two other components that are closely related as we redevelop the CBD, and that is the enhancement of people. And part of that is to digitalise, to use Alderman Perry's, not sure that's a word, is it? It is? Good, thank you. It is now. Our people in our city become proficient and our businesses become proficient in all the IT aspects of modern life. And so I think this is a great strategy to go hand in hand with where council is taking our community. Thank you.
Thank you. Any further comments? None at all. Mayor Martin to close.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And yes, I endorse Alderman Hamilton's point in regards to budget. In the strategy itself, it says we should have a digital first approach, and I'm sure that will be forming part of the budget deliberations. Consider it closed.
Thank you. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against? Carried. 4.6, Tazewater. Good old Tazewater. Do I have a mover, please, for the recommendation that's obtained on page 109?
So moved.
Deputy Mayor Rutliff. And seconded? Seconded?
Yes.
Alderman Edmund. Deputy Mayor Rockland.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We have already had some preliminary discussions around this and some discussions with the General Manager around the implications for us in the next few years, and it's obviously a fairly substantial implication as a shareholder of Tazewater, and it's something obviously, looking at the recommendation and the numbers there, that we will have to be very mindful of in the next few years, as it seems like it's a done deal. And that it will just have to be part of our planning for the future. Thank you.
Thank you. Alderman Edmund.
Thank you, Chair. Unfortunately, we, as Alderman Rockliffe said, we have discussed this and I don't see any other options. Tazewater definitely need to improve significant infrastructure around the state, maybe not in our area. Seems hard because we're actually going to lose out on something that where we've actually kept our assets fairly good when we owned them before they transferred to Crater Water and then to Tazewater. But I guess if we take a bigger picture, we need to stand with the other communities in our state and assist with this. And as an investor, you don't really tell where the company that you're investing in, how much you want to get back. It doesn't kind of work that way with any of my shares. So I guess it's the same thing that they're saying they can't pay because they have to significantly reinvest. So I guess we reluctantly have to agree with it. The good thing about it is I guess we've got a year and a bit, 2 years, to actually build that into our finances, but $546,000 is a lot of money for us to be able to find, but I'm sure and have confidence in our management and the people around this table that we'll be able to develop some changes that will mean that it's the impact to ratepayers is as minimal as possible.
Alderman Jarman.
Thank you. I just want to say that across the board, I understand that all councils are unhappy with how this development has turned out the way it has. We seem to not be in control, whether we're on the board or not.
No.
We're just not in control. We've opened the gate, the horse has bolted, and now there's a lot of trouble. They don't seem to have known that there was going to be this much trouble. There's always been this, this isn't right and this isn't right, but it just seems to be getting worse and worse and worse, like they didn't know. What I want to understand is whether or not, I know it says here on page 107 that our owner representatives of the board in early October, it's likely that council representatives will express their concerns regarding this process of how it happened before they really knew and they were just told this is how it is. I'm just wondering, can we put it in writing? That's what I'd like to see. Instead of just expressing our views, I think every council should do this, but I think as Devonport City Council, we should be writing to them and putting it in writing our disgust in how they've gone about this and how we are now having to fix their problems. And it's $546,000 per year that we're going to have to fix. It just seems like we're robbing Peter to pay Paul. You know, it will end up having to probably come out of the rates, and that's not good. And the people that pay rates already pay a lot with water. They just seem to be the ones that everyone seems to be putting their hand out at. And we need to make some kind of stand, I think. So I'd rather, instead of just expressing our concerns at a meeting, I'd like to see us put something in writing, and I wonder how the rest of the aldermen feel about that. Thank you.
Alderman Matthew. Thank you, Chairman Goodman. Look, just going also on page 107, where it says the 2006 reform of council's water and sewerage systems was initiated in response to the federal government's $10 billion National Water Initiative funding. Council agreed that with funding linked to reform, there was an opportunity to modernise assets. However, the investment back into water and sewerage never occurred. What was the story with that through you to the General Manager? Because if there's a $10 billion National Water Initiative funding scheme,
where is
10
it?
Years ago,
where is it?
Where's it gone? And why was Tasmania, as it appears, possibly missed out? What's the go there?
Yeah, Tasmania didn't actually miss out. The bulk of that allocation, or the bulk of the funding that came to Tasmania, went into irrigation, and that's why a lot of the irrigation schemes in the Midlands and so forth have been created, is as a result of that national water fund that was available. Certainly, there was a push from memory in 2006. This council's water and sewerage reform was part of the state proving that it was moving towards a place where they could then apply for this funding. So it was a push by the state government at the time for water and sewerage, and there was some money that did certainly come to Tasmania to local government as a result of that. One example was the provision of metering in the Hobart and surrounding councils that previously hadn't been on meters. So some of the money that was funded for that certainly came out of the National Water Initiative funding as well, from memory. So there was some that went to local government, but there was a lot that went to the irrigation process. Those comments there are the comments that in a letter that the owner representatives group chair, David Downey, had put into the newspaper. But I just thought they were relevant for the context of what this was about.
Through you again, still, was there a figure for that was...
No, I don't recall. It was certainly substantial money, but I don't know what it was that came to Tasmania.
I think in the past, Devonport, due to the fact that we've had meters and a lot of the other councils hadn't, I think there was a scheme, the National Competition Policy, I think.
That's correct. There was money to...
got off money federally because there were five councils that complied. Us, Launceston, I think, and I can't remember the others, but the government got money from that because of the compliance, but then councils, Hobart, etc., didn't, and now, I don't know what their situation is now, but we've always done the right thing, and the government, this state government's profiteered, or not profiteered, have benefited from our compliance and our initiatives for metering our
compliance.
Yeah.
Of course, what we must take into consideration, it's only a stroke of a pen, really, for the state government to make it into a GBE, why they get the numbers in the upper house. So that's... don't ever be surprised if they go down that path. Alderman Perry?
Yeah, thanks, Chair Goodman. I guess, look, as Alderman Emerton said, we've got no choice but to accept this. But I think the point should be noted that this really is the manifestation of socialising the water system. That when Taswater was
developed or created, some councils put in or contributed very good assets that would require not much work, if any, in the future. Some councils put in some terrible assets that were going to require a lot of work. Mm. And this is, I guess, the first tipping point of that. And there'll be more to come in the future. So I just wanted to make that point that, you know, I understand that the Dimmort Council's assets were in good shape. Obviously, some weren't, and we're all paying, 29 councils are paying the price for a few that contributed some poor assets. And, you know, this is just the first upshot of that, I would say.
Yeah, and overvalued assets too, don't worry.
The valuation, yeah, well, it may be so, but this is what's happening.
Statement, if I may. And look, it just shows you that there's no incentive for people to do the right thing or councils to do the right thing. Mm. If that's going to be the continual outcome of what happens.
To you, General Manager, what do you require there?
Through you, Mr. Chairman. The comment that I've made at the bottom of page 107, that the meeting of the TAS owners' representatives, Alderman Goodwin and myself attended a meeting of councils a couple of weeks back. There is no doubt that the board of TAS Water will very clearly get the message from the local government representatives that they're not happy about the outcome. It's not the comment where I've said it's likely that council representatives, I wasn't referring to necessarily, I was talking about all council representatives, will express their concerns regarding the process followed by the board. I think that as part of the minutes from that meeting will certainly clarify for council the depth of ill feeling that is potentially there with TAS Water at this stage. Whether you're happy at this stage for the representative to make the views known, and depending on the outcome of that meeting, there's been emails floating around even as late as today in relation to all this issue, expressing the views of some of the councils. I think there's still a way to go with where this all ends up. And there is, as Alderman Goodman made the point, there is the potential that if councils statewide were to block this...
it's a dollar.
..through the through saying that they wouldn't accept it, there is every potential that the Treasurer would give the Treasurer the ammunition to move to creating a GBE and taking it away from councils altogether.
And that's the dilemma we face. I mean, we've got 1,092 reasons to vote for this because we've come at the stroke of the pen. Bearing in mind, if I may say so, the chair of TAS Water, Miles Hampton, and the board put this in place, and then Miles went overseas. He's in Europe the next day.
Well, that was my next question. Now, how much are we asking them to skin off their game as well?
Well, that was brought up at the meeting.
From miles down.
Yeah.
How much are they trying to find money in the way they run the place as well?
They can find savings. And
pay cuts.
Pay cut. Yeah. Yep. I think.
But are we asking them to do that as well?
Oh, that'll be asked. I'm quite sure. In all fairness, Alderman Jones, we don't put nothing in writing. I can assure you, there'll be Miles Hampton and the rest of the board. They're going to get one hell of a grilling in October by there's plenty of dissatisfied council members. Gee, there is.
May I ask a question, please,
again?
Of the General Manager? Paul, do you think that maybe, is there a possibility that maybe they've come out and hit the ball straight down the field, knowing that there's going to be the reaction that we've had, and maybe it's a type of amber claim, and there may be a positioning where they come back a little bit and they're, you know, instead of us losing $546,000 a year, it's $300,000.
Certainly, based on some of the stuff that's currently going around, there is that potential. The board's been very quiet, but certainly they have been requested to provide lots of information to the meeting on the 6th of October. So as to whether they're reviewing their decisions and whatever, not aware of that at this stage. But with the feelings of the councils that I've been observing, I wouldn't be surprised if there's not another move on the chessboard yet before we get to the end of this process. But the critical point will be that the move doesn't get to the stage where it's checkmate and we lose Tazwater altogether. Well, it becomes a GBE and it's taken away from councils altogether.
And I think it's probably fair to say that's all the Treasurer is looking for. He wants a lever. Yeah. So the main thing is that we don't give it to him in that sense. Time will tell. Any further comments? None at all. Deputy Mayor Rockcliffe to close.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Interesting conversation. And I guess Alderman Jarman's point is well made. However, I'm sure, as you've already stated, that we're not the only ones who are feeling a little upset about this decision, and that there's still more to come. So my view would be we will wait and see what happens and continue the conversation if we need to. Thank you.
Thank you. Put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against, carried. Elected members report. Do you want to move the finisher report, please?
So moved.
So moved.
Second.
Alderman Perry and Alderman Emerton. Alderman Perry.
It's all there in black and white. Thanks, Mr. Chair.
It is.
Alderman, nothing further to add.
Any further comments? None at all. Alderman Perry to close.
Consider it closed.
Consider it closed. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against, carried. The annual financial statement and the recommendations contained on page 121. The mover, please. Alderman Everton, you moving? Put your light on.
I am moving.
All right, thank you.
Seconded.
And seconded by Mayor Martin. Alderman Everton.
Thank you, Chair. My compliments to the staff at management that have prepared the reports. Lots of detail, lots of information in there that I did mention this afternoon that many people will never read because it's notes to financials. But for those of us that kind of do this thing for a living, we get a little excited about it. Sorry about being sick. But a great result. We are well managed, and hopefully I think they're well over. There's good governance over top of that management. We continue to go forward strongly fiscally, and I see that not changing. The Auditor General makes comments in relation to the Living City project that they would obviously be keeping an eye on, and that I wouldn't. That's just a normal comment that they would make in relation to what's called post-balance date transactions. Although part of it obviously started before the end of the balance date. But the significant expenditure will come in this year and in the 2018 financial year. So a good result, and we're set up strongly to go forward, which is important. We're not moving into the biggest investment of a local council for many years in our state. Unprepared and with poor structures and poor finances, we're moving into that period in a very strong fiscal position. So I highly commend the report to my fellow aldermen. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Mayor?
Certainly endorse the words of Alderman Emerton. It's great news that Council has derived a surplus, an underlying surplus of $3,023,000. For the year, and congratulate the staff and management in regards to the solid work to that, and note that the cost management practices certainly have played a strong part in this surplus. Thank you.
Any further comments? Being none. Oh, sorry.
Sorry, I just have, it might be a bit cheeky question compared to what our last discussion was. Page 146 through you, Mr. Chair, to either Paul or Kim. Tazwater. Just the last sentence just has me baffled, so please, if someone could explain. explain to me what that actually means. Council has clarified this asset as an available for sale financial asset. Does anyone want to buy it? I just find it bemuses me. How does that work?
It is determined by the audit office as an available for sale asset. I guess it is out there for sale. I think recently a council has actually offered their share of Tazwater up for sale, but there were no takers, obviously, to purchase that share.
Any further comments? None. Alderman Everett to close.
Nothing. Consider it closed.
Thank you. I'll put Chair. This motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against? It's carried. We go to 4.9, the finance report, and the recommendation is contained on page 194. So can I have a mover, please, for the finance report to be received?
So moved, Mr Chair.
Deputy Mayor, and seconded by Alderman Emerton and Deputy Mayor Rockland.
Thank you. Again, a report on the first 2 months of this financial year and showing us how things are tracking against budget, and it's always good to... I'm a bit like Alderman Emerton. I like to see these numbers every month, so it's always good to keep track of where we're at and where we look like we're going. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, whilst if you look at our net deficit at $1 million, it looks scary, but of course we know that is totally due to the financial costs where we had to pay out the Tazcourt loans, and we'll reap rewards for that in the fourth, if not the fifth year and the sixth year and thereafter, of considerable savings towards for our ratepayers, which is really good. So, but again, apart from that, take that out, we're tracking quite well. So it's a significant one-off cost, which needs to be noted that it is a one-off cost, and that going forward, it'll be good to see that number come down, and hopefully by the end of the year we'll still end up with a surplus, which will be good. Thank you.
Thank you. Any further comments? Deputy Mayor Rockliffe to close.
Thank you. I did have one question, and I can't remember whether it's in this bit or somewhere else. It was about housing Tasmania deciding to not pay up front as they have in the past. Do we have any background around that?
Through you, Mr Chair. The request came to Council for us to provide them with a discount. The amount of discount that they were seeking didn't justify the process, and so we advised them that this year, with the interest rates and things the way they are, that it wasn't necessarily to our benefit to do it, to provide the discount, and so they've chosen to pay by the instalment method. The interesting thing for housing will be they will need to make sure that they don't miss an instalment, otherwise they'll get a penalty. They've paid the first instalment by the due date. So it's just basically they've chosen, from their cash management point of view, to pay by instalments.
Okay. Is that only one transaction for us?
Through
it's not 769 transactions?
No. The transactions are automated. So
thank
no.
you.
Closed? I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Say aye. Against? It's carried. We now go to the governance and finance report, which starts on page 23, and the recommendation is on page 219.
So moved.
Mayor, moved and seconded.
I'll
second. Alderman Perry. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr Chairman. Comprehensive report. Great to see that staff have been issued with a safety card, and I've made inquiries about that. Device that when a situation arises, staff press a button which contacts the monitoring station and records conversations, and that has been transferred to that monitoring station as well, so they can be aware of the situation, and if it certainly intensifies, takes the next step, can identify where the staff are, and has a man down sensor, so if it falls flat and there's no movement, that the alarm will come back through the system. and raise the alarm, so to speak. I notice we're still doing very well in the digital space, and the public Wi-Fi statistics are still very promising. And I'd also like to pass on my congratulations to our communication officer, Karina, for the work that she's been doing to achieve that result. Thank you.
Thank you. And Alderman Perry.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. And also, yeah, just to compliment what the Mayor said, the Facebook reach has increased by 104% on last year, which is incredible. The engaged users is up by 86% almost, and our followers is up by 41%. So just an indication of how powerful social media can be. Thank you.
Any further comments?
Consider it closed.
Consider it closed. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against? Carried. We're done and dusted, aren't we?